Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Right now, you are hurting, and it's not your fault. It started at the top, and it started in Washington, and it started on Wall Street. And we're going to fix it.
Now, all of a sudden, he has become a populist. Now he's unleashed an angry tirade against all the insiders and lobbyists who happen to have supported him for the last 26 years.
Well, the week that began with no federal bailout for a bankrupt Lehman Brothers is ending with a plan for a total federal takeover of the mortgage crisis. Modeled on the big federal rescue of the savings and loan industry in the 1980s, it would be designed to restore credit to frozen lending markets and generally prevent the broad national economy and even global markets from widespread ruin emanating out from all the layers of bad mortgage debt. President Bush is planning a statement for later this hour. We will carry it live. The Treasury Secretary may also hold a news conference. We'll probably take that live if he does it. And, of course, we will continue to follow all these extraordinary developments this morning and keep trying to do what we've done all week, explain what's going on and debate the issues where people disagree. Among those issues, whether to include homeowners facing foreclosure in the bailout, Senator Chuck Schumer is fighting for it.
Without a comprehensive solution that helps keep people in their homes, no amount of money advanced by Uncle Sam will restore the fundamental strengths of the American economy.
All right. We have Congressman Gregory Meeks. He is a Democrat from Queens. He is on the House Financial Services Committee. Also, we understand that the Treasury Secretary has now started a news conference. Let me get in a question or two for Congressman Meeks, and then we'll go live to Washington. Congressman, thanks for doing this with us. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Is it clear to you yet exactly what shape this proposal from the administration will take and how much Democrats in the Congress will have to object to it?
No, it is clear. It's not clear yet, as you just indicated. I, like you, just saw that the Secretary Paulson just came on and anxious to read and hear the proposal. Had a conversation with Senator Schumer this morning, and we all wanted to ultimately see what their proposal actually stated, so that we can make sure that it is fiscally sound. And can maybe help us get out of the rut that we're currently in.
All right. Now, Congressman Meeks, can you stay there for a second? Let's listen together
Yes. To
a little of Alan Paulson, Henry Paulson, and then we'll react together. Let's listen.
...provides to our financial system, even as it will involve a significant investment of taxpayer dollars. I am convinced that this bold approach will cost American families far less than the alternative. A continuing series of financial institution failures and frozen credit markets unable to fund economic expansion. I believe many members of Congress share my conviction. I will spend the weekend working with members of Congress of both parties to examine approaches to alleviate the pressure of these bad loans on our system so credit can flow once again to American consumers and companies. Our economic health requires that we work together for prompt bipartisan action. As we work with Congress to pass this legislation over the next week, other immediate actions will provide relief. First, to provide critical additional funding to our mortgage markets, the GSEs, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, will increase their purchases of mortgage-backed securities. These two enterprises must carry out their mission to support the mortgage market. Second, to increase the availability of capital for new home loans, Treasury will expand the MBS purchase program we announced earlier this month. This will complement the capital provided by the GSEs and will help facilitate mortgage availability and affordability. These two steps will provide some initial support to mortgage assets, but they are not enough. Many of the illiquid assets clogging our system today do not meet the regulatory requirements to be eligible for the purchase by the GSEs or by the Treasury program. I look forward to working with Congress to pass necessary legislation to remove these troubled assets from our financial system. When we get through this difficult period, which we will, our next task must be to improve the financial regulatory structure so that these past excesses do not reoccur. This crisis demonstrates in vivid terms that our financial regulatory structure is suboptimal, duplicative, and outdated. I have put forward my ideas for a modernized financial oversight structure that matches our modern economy and more closely links a regulatory structure to the reasons why we regulate. This is a critical debate for another day. Right now, our focus is on restoring the strength of our financial system so that it can again finance economic growth. The financial security of all Americans, their retirement savings, their home values, their ability to borrow for college, and the opportunities for more and higher paying jobs depends on our ability to restore our financial institutions to sound footing. Thank you. Now I'll take several questions.
Secretary,
yes.
Needs to be Rich Edson from Fox Business. You said this needs to be a significant size. Are we talking hundreds of billions, trillion dollars?
No, we're talking hundreds of billions. This needs to be big enough to make a real difference and get at the heart of the problem. Rebecca.
What specifically will you be asking Congress for? Have you brought them a proposed legislative package?
We are going to be coming to them with a proposed legislative package and then working with them to flesh out the details through the weekend, and we're going to be asking them to take action on legislation next week. Okay, one more, yes, hi.
Mr. Secretary, what is the alternative here? What is the dire picture you painted for members of Congress last night to try and convince them to support this effort? What is the alternative?
This is what we need to do, because for some time we've been saying that the root cause of the problems in our economy and our financial system is housing. And until we get stability in the housing market, we are not going to get stability in our financial markets. We've worked with Congress on a number of steps, all of which were important leading up to this. But this is the way we stabilize the system and get at the root cause. Thank you. Thank you all very much. Thanks.
Okay, there you have it. The Treasury Secretary of the United States, Henry Paulson, with a live statement on the immediate steps that the government will be taking to ease the financial crisis and the longer-term steps that he wants. And he said he'll be negotiating with Congress, he and others from the Bush administration, through the weekend, and hopes to have legislation passed next week. Congressman Gregory Meeks, Democrat from Queens, is with us. He's a member of the House Financial Services Committee. Congressman, your reaction to what we just heard?
Well, you know, I think that the devil is in the details, and I anxiously await. In fact, I stayed in Washington, D.C., waiting for the proposal to come through. So I anxiously await sitting down and looking at what the proposal actually states. I think that we do need, you know, the concern, of course, is setting up a new entity that could take too long. And whether or not it can be done in a timely fashion, that's my initial concern. But I'm ready to look and to see and try to work so that we can try to get some stability back into the market.
When you say you're worried it'll take too long for what? What might happen?
Well, what they're talking about is establishing a new entity to assume all of the bad debt. And that's where the devil's in the details, the bureaucracy, who's going to, you know, the regulations, who's going to be put in charge, how quick can we get it done so that we can get the overall confidence back into the markets. But I got to see. I don't know. Maybe they have a specific proposal that can relieve some of my anxieties there.
What are you afraid that they'll do that you might not like?
Well, I'm just afraid that, you know, it could cost too much money. It could be too large with a number of the other problems that we have. And I also want to make sure that it also has part of what Senator Schumer had indicated, that there is some help in that for homeowners, because I want to make sure that people see that we're trying to help not only the financial institutions, but also the individual citizens who may be losing their homes. So I've got to make sure that it has the...
Well, that's a tricky balance, because on the one hand, you're worried that the whole bailout may be too large and it'll cut into other government services that you think are important. On the other hand, Secretary Paulson says 5 million homeowners are in mortgage delinquency or foreclosure, and you want those folks included in.
It is a tricky, I agree with you, it is a tricky balance. That's why the devil's in the details, and we've got to sit down and look at it and work with it and try to see if there's some compromise. Look, there was, I always have anxiety. People talk about the House Financial Services Committee, for example, and what we've done in the past. We tried, and based upon Republican, the former chair of the committee, Mike Oxley, I can recall on the committee back in 2005, for example, we tried to do some regulation and reform of Fannie and Freddie back then. And based upon Chairman Oakley's own statements recently, you know, he talked about how what we received was not too nice a greeting from the White House and their policies. In fact, you know, I believe he stated that we missed a golden opportunity that would have avoided a lot of the problems we are facing now.
Although I've heard a criticism,
White House will work with us and the administration. And this plan that will be something that we can all agree upon, and that's where the devil's in the details.
I've heard a criticism of congressional Republicans that they failed to regulate Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae adequately in recent years because you were so committed to expanding mortgage availabilities to get more and more poorer and working class people into home ownership. Is that a fair criticism?
No, those individuals must not have sat on the Financial Services Committee, because just as the chairman said, when it was Republicanly led, you know, Congress, Democrats just took over control of the Congress 2 years ago. But in 2005, under Mike Oxley, we tried to do some reform then, of which the White House was not receptive to. In the 2 years that Democrats have been in control, we immediately passed legislation that would help with this crisis and reform Fannie and Freddie. But it has been the philosophy of the administration that has prevented it. So, and you can't, in my estimation, as the Republicans are trying to do, take many of the individuals who are really victims and try to make them the cause. You know, you look at the unscrupulous individuals out there that was peddling these subprime loans. To many, they gave subprime loans to individuals who might have qualified for a prime loan. And the mortgage brokers. Mm-hmm. So we've got to do something there.
Last thing, Congressman.
No one was watching the switch.
Before you go, Congressman, and we bring on some other guests, I want you to react to the specific action that Secretary Paulson announced even before any agreement with Congress, things that I guess the administration can do unilaterally. He said the mortgage giants Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac will step up their purchases of mortgage-backed securities right away to help provide support to the crippled housing market. And he said the Treasury Department will expand a program announced earlier this month to buy mortgage-backed securities, which have been badly hurt by the housing and credit crisis. So the Treasury Department's going to buy some of these securities from Wall Street. Fannie and Freddie, which they now own, are going to buy some of the other mortgage-backed securities. What do you make of it? Do you understand it? Because I don't.
Well, I think that what they're trying to do, because credit has dried up, no one can get credit anymore, and they're trying to gain confidence, but also, you know, get people to spending again, because that helps the overall economy. And to a degree, you know, I understand, because those homes that have already been foreclosed on in communities like mine, we don't want them to continue to be boarded up, because that then brings down the value of homes even around it. And part of the problem is homes, you know, the value of homes continue to go down, and we need to stop that. And so if we can get individuals to buy homes again, because, you know, credit would be available for those who qualify for mortgages, then we could hopefully gain some more stability back into the markets. And I think that's what they're trying to do there.
Congressman Gregory Meeks, Democrat from Queens, member of the House Financial Services Committee, thank you very much for coming on with us at this crucial time.
My pleasure.
Our coverage continues in a minute. President Bush is going to speak live and probably unveil more of what they have in mind. Coming up in a few minutes, we'll have that live. We'll talk to David Leonhardt, New York Times economics columnist, and Diana Furtgott-Roth, the former U.S. Labor Secretary. Stay with us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, as we continue our coverage of the fast-moving events this morning with respect to the financial crisis, Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson, a few minutes ago, as we carried live, announcing two specific actions, one for Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac to step up purchases of mortgage-backed securities to help provide support to the crippled housing market, and for the Treasury Department to basically do the same. And President Bush is going to speak probably in about 20 minutes, which we will carry live, perhaps with more specifics as they go into a weekend of what undoubtedly will be intense negotiations, as we heard from Congressman Meeks, between the White House and Congress over what a longer-term plan might look like. Joining us now are David Leonhardt. He writes the Economic Scene column for the New York Times, and Diana Furtgott-Roth. She is a former chief economist for the U.S. Labor Department, currently a senior fellow at the Hudson Institute. Welcome back, both of you, to WNYC. Thank you very much for coming on today.
Well, thank you very much.
David, you there? Okay, I think David Leonhardt can't hear me. Diana, could you give us your understanding of what it is that Treasury Secretary Paulson just announced with respect to these Treasury Department and Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac buy-ups?
Well, what he has said that he's going to do is try to set up a new version of what in the 1990s was the Resolution Trust Corporation, which purchased bankrupt entities and tried to deal with those. He's also insuring mutual funds and money market accounts that were not insured, and he also has placed a ban on short sales.
Right, and the short selling is very interesting. Attorney General, or I should say New York State Attorney General Andrew Cuomo, is looking into possible illegal activities with respect to short selling. We'll get back to that later. David Leonhardt, do we have you?
I think so. Are you there?
I think we have you now.
Excellent.
Yes. So the Treasury Secretary just made an announcement. Treasury itself is going to buy up some of these mortgage-backed securities. Now, he didn't say mortgage-backed. He didn't say the mortgages themselves, the debt that the banks and others are carrying. He didn't say the loans that the borrowers made. People may be facing foreclosure right now. He said purchases of mortgage-backed securities, which I think are these financial instruments that Bear Stearns and others brought to market to try to capitalize on all these relatively high-rate loans. So what's your understanding of what he really announced there?
Well, I mean, the details are certainly still coming out, but I think we can get some sense for the principles of this. And you're right, it is these securities. They're not going out and they're not so much going to take over someone's mortgage. But there's a reason why the focus is there. The thing that's paralyzed the financial markets is the fear about anyone buying these securities. And so there is a very good argument that what the government should do is come in and drive a really hard bargain, make sure they are absolutely getting the lowest possible price for that they can for these things. And they have a lot of leverage in this situation because they can go to Wall Street and they can say, guess what, if you don't like our price, you're going under, and take them onto their books and hope that, by and large, they are going to be able to get something close to what they paid for it down the road when the markets settle down. There's a chance they won't. There's a chance there'll be a cost to the taxpayers. I think that's the most likely situation. But the idea here really is that if you don't do this, you may have a seizing up of the financial markets, and as Paulson said, that the ultimate cost may be bigger than this. I don't think we have much choice. I think we have to do this at this point. That isn't to say that it's not important that they do it really well. That isn't to say that there haven't been huge mistakes that got us here. But we're here now, and I think we need to do something like this.
Right. I think that David's certainly right. The government has to become a buyer and not just a lender against assets. Because before Paulson made this announcement, basically the government was lending money and lending more and more and more and guaranteeing more and more. And now it's decided it's going to become a buyer of these assets. and that that ends the debate as to whether we have a liquidity crisis or a solvency crisis. We don't have a liquidity crisis. We have a solvency crisis.
What does that mean, a solvency crisis?
It means we have companies that are going to go bankrupt. It means we don't just have companies that need to borrow money. Lending them money isn't going to solve the problem. These companies are going to go bankrupt no matter how much liquidity is offered. And the big example is, of course, Lehman Brothers, which for which the government, the Federal Reserve, opened a special discount window back in the spring. But it still didn't mean that the firm could persevere.
I want to engage this question of whether to also help the homeowners facing foreclosure because of these bad loans. We have a clip, I think, of Barack Obama lined up next advocating this, as did Chuck Schumer.
When I was warning about the danger ahead on Wall Street months ago because of the lack of oversight, Senator McCain was telling the Wall Street Journal, and I quote, "I am always for less regulation."
So that's Senator Obama knocking Senator McCain. We'll get Senator McCain's response in a minute. Here is Senator Obama advocating that homeowners facing foreclosure be included in any deal.
We've made a good start, but we need to do much, much more. We cannot forget that there are many homeowners who are in crisis through no fault of their own. And a solution that does not have them at its core is no solution at all.
And since we're here in the Obama side, let's hear some of Senator McCain's response. This is in Cedar Rapids yesterday.
The role of government in America, I say, as a fiscal conservative, is to help Americans in time of disaster. They have experienced a disaster, and their assistance is overdue.
And Senator McCain took his own shot back at the Democratic candidate.
My opponent sees an economic crisis as a political opportunity instead of a time to lead. Senator Obama isn't change. He's part of the problem in Washington.
All right. So David Leonhardt, New York Times economics columnist, on this question of whether homeowners facing foreclosure should be included in this bailout or buyout or whatever you want to call it, what are the pros and cons and the ethical issues involved as you see it?
I guess what I'd say is that I disagree a little bit with Obama's notion that through no fault of their own they got into this. It's through some fault of their own that they got into this. And I would say that the government probably should be helping out families facing foreclosure and families who've fallen behind, because in many cases they got duped or some version of duped into taking out these loans. But I would also keep something else in mind. There are a lot of people out there who are also struggling to get by and who didn't buy more home than they could afford. There are a lot of renters in New York who will recognize that description, because New York is a city where a lot of people rent. There are people who are going to lose their jobs because of this crisis, and they're going to be in trouble too. And so it's not clear to me that families that bought more home than they could afford should be at the front of the line of people who deserve help from the government at this point. And to the extent that the government is going to help them, I think they should drive the same hard bargain that they're going to drive with Wall Street. Say, look, we're going to help you out with this loan, but if we do so, you're not going to get the upside of your house price going up in the future. And so I think it's a little bit too easy to say these people are in trouble, let's help them. I think Obama's other point, that McCain has followed this, been part of this philosophy of regulation is always bad, and that deserves a significant portion of the blame for where we are, is dead on right.
Diana Furchgott-Roth, let's tackle both of those things. What about including homeowners?
Well, I think that Senator Obama is forgetting that Congress just passed a very expensive Housing Stabilization and Home Ownership Retention Act just a couple of months ago, where homeowners who feel that they cannot pay their mortgage can refinance it at a more favorable rate through their lender with an FHA loan guarantee. So we had one massive bill passed by Congress just a month or so ago. The Federal Housing Administration has another program to help homeowners in trouble, the FHA Secure Program, which so far has helped about 160,000 homeowners refinance and is authorized to help 500,000. So Senator Obama is completely forgetting that we have two parallel programs already set up to help homeowners in difficulty. I mean, how much more does he want to spend?
On the other side of the equation, there is a coalition of conservative Republicans in the House, Diana, that has sent a letter to the White House demanding no more bailouts. They say it's not the taxpayers' responsibility, either that homebuyers took on risky loans or that stock traders made risky securities out of them. In theory, at least, they have a point, don't they?
Well, they do, and there were many people who were against this housing bill that Congress just passed. They said that FHA Secure was enough with its ability to help 500,000 homeowners. But the bill still passed Congress. We have these two expensive mechanisms for homeowners to be helped. And until it's been shown that these are not working or that these have been used to their fullest extent, we shouldn't pretend that homeowners have no recourse. They already have a governmental resource. Whether it's right that they should have or not, Congress passed it, and it's there.
David, go ahead.
I'm very sympathetic to that argument from the conservatives that we shouldn't be bailing these banks out. There's a fundamental flaw with it, though, which is that Henry Paulson and Ben Bernanke, who I think have done a pretty good job of managing this crisis, at least over the last few months, have judged that the risks to the system of these banks failing are too big. And so the problem really is that Alan Greenspan's Fed and the Bush administration assumed that simply because these banks were making the investments, they were okay, that the market had to work. And so they let these investments get out of control. When one of Alan Greenspan's colleagues came to him and said, we need to worry about the mortgage market, Greenspan said, no, we don't. And since they let banks get too big doing risky stuff, essentially what they've done is they've forced us now to bail these banks out for our own sake. And so I think what we need to do going forward, we're not always going to get it right, but we need to do going forward is try to regulate these places more closely so they can't get too important to fail. And when they're not too important to fail, then just as those conservative Republicans are saying now, then we can go to these companies and say, nice try, guys, we're not bailing you out. But because of the lack of really serious, thoughtful oversight in Washington over the last 5 years, we probably don't have the ability to do that right now for our own sake.
Listeners, get in on this. We want your phone calls. Should the federal government be getting into this business in such a big way at all? And if they do, should they include homeowners facing foreclosure more than they already do? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post a comment to our comments page at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show as we await President Bush's statement on this, expected in about 10 minutes, with David Leonhardt, who writes the Economic Scene column for the New York Times, and Diana Furtscott-Roth, former chief economist for the U.S. Labor Department in the Bush administration a couple of years ago, and she's also a senior fellow at the Hudson Institute right now. I see that one of our immediate callers includes Congressman Anthony Weiner, Democrat of Brooklyn. We're going to take Congressman Weiner's call right now. Congressman, thanks for calling in. Do we have Congressman Weiner on line 4 or tell 4? Okay, we'll try to get back to Congressman Weiner. Diana Furtscott-Roth, you were in the Bush administration. Has George W. Bush morphed into Franklin Delano Roosevelt?
Well, I think that the president has been put in a very difficult situation. When you have commercial banks have some have insurance, so your local bank, Wachovia or SunTrust, those deposits are insured up to about $100,000. But we don't have any system of insurance for these investment banks. And if we're going to be in the situation where we're going to be bailing them out, then they need to have some similar type of insurance that they pay. In other words, if they're going to be bailed out or if they're going to need recourse from the government, they should be paying insurance payments to the government like regular banks pay to the FDIC. And these are the kinds of systems that we're going to have to get in place if we feel like we just cannot let these banks go bust.
Now I think we have Congressman Weiner. Congressman, are you there?
I am. How are you, Brian?
Okay. So what do you think about all this? Is the government doing the right thing getting into this in such a big way? And should they include homeowners facing foreclosure as Senator Schumer and Senator Obama have been advocating?
Well, this is the worst possible option except compared to every other one. I mean, this is, you know, we don't have a luxury for a great deal of discussion about economic theory here when, frankly, the world is on fire and we need to figure out what we do quickly. And I think it's important to keep in mind here that there is almost no dispute that regulatory lapses, credit agencies, all that. You can blame a great many places. The question is, what is our responsibility now to try to do what we can as a preeminent world leader? And I think that, frankly, they're doing what they probably should have done sooner. But I think that's something else. They were doing the same type of thing kind of by default, issue by issue. You know, to some degree, we were coming in, whether it be AIG or getting involved in the Bear Stearns, we were backstopping a great deal of this problem anyway. And what we were learning is that until we went in and kind of did our best to pull up the roots of the problem, we weren't going to solve it. I mean, I have some basic questions. One, it's much easier said than done to find out where the infected funds are. You know, part of the problem we've been having is we keep thinking we're in the ninth inning, and it goes on another inning, another inning, another inning. The second problem is that we still need to provide a way for homeowners who are in foreclosure proceedings now for the courts to be able to say, let's go back and renegotiate, reopen some of those mortgages so that a bankruptcy proceeding or that a court can say, you know what, maybe this person did sign a contract to pay a balloon payment of 22%, but let's work that down to be able to keep them in their home. That's something that Congress can still do, and I hope that we do.
And how do you separate out those home buyers who just got caught up in something big that they couldn't anticipate and those who really just took on too much risk and now are expecting us to backstop them?
Well, look, there is no doubt in what Paulson announced today, we are essentially throwing the idea of a moral hazard out the window, that there are going to be a lot of people who should not be protected are going to wind up getting some protection. But I guess the question that Congress has been dealing with, and frankly economists have been dealing with over the past week, are what options are available to us. It is ironic, to say the least, to see this anti-regulatory administration jumping in and socializing the banking system.
When your colleague Congressman Meeks was on a few minutes ago, he did worry that this could get so big, so expensive, that it would interfere with other programs that he thinks are vital. And we didn't get a chance for him to enumerate them, but I could imagine the health care plans that Barack Obama, if elected, wants to start to institute, Social Security as it goes forward. How much is too much, and how much do you think this is going to cost?
Well, no one knows how much it's going to cost, and it's one of the questions all of us have. But one thing I can say to you, to my friends in Congress who say that there's no money for health care, there's no money to help for unemployment insurance, or there's no money to try to improve our competitiveness by improving education, well, they can't say that after this announcement. If they support this, we have to realize that, look, we have a much larger and perhaps more appropriate role for the government on trying to stabilize our economy. But I also think something else. If we don't do this, the cost to our economy would be devastating. If we continue this downward spiral, our tax revenues would seize up just like everything else. So I think we have to be careful. The actual choice is not between doing nothing and doing this. It is doing this and then figuring out what we do on the other things down the road.
Congressman Anthony Weiner, thanks a lot for calling in. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Diana Furchtgott-Roth, former U.S. Chief Economist in the Labor Department under President Bush from 2003 to 2005. Congressman Weiner talked about the theory. This is no time for theory.
That was funny. In a time of crisis, you actually do need some economic theory. Economics comes in useful.
So how would this biggest federal intervention in the economy since the Great Depression redefine the nature of American capitalism, would it?
I don't think it redefines the nature of American capitalism, but government is there to protect the soundness of the currency, to protect the country from attack against foreign companies, and also to protect the structure of the economy and the courts. And I think this definitely falls under those kinds of instances. To say, well, the government is doing something to restore the financial system, therefore it should also spend more money on healthcare, education, you can, give the list yourself, does not make any sense. To have the banking system fall apart, and I don't know if it would completely fall apart, but that's obviously what Secretary Paulson is concerned about, is not something that would improve the functioning of the U.S. economy. It would be disastrous, and it would have all kinds of other consequences for people who would lose jobs and lose investments and lose retirement savings.
We are expecting President Bush to announce more details of what he wants to do to end the financial crisis in about 3 minutes. We will carry that live. Janet in South Plains, you're on WNYC. Thanks for calling, Janet.
Hi, thank you. This is just another form of corporate welfare. A bailout has to begin at the bottom. If people are still going to lose their homes, you know, when FDR went in, the CCC and the WPA didn't hire corporate executives. They're still going to get their bonuses. The bailout needs to begin at the bottom.
So if it does include the homeowners, you'd feel better about it?
I think it has to be a condition of it, that renegotiating these mortgages, people who've been making payments, who have not failed to make a payment in the last 3 years, one of my home health aides is in this situation, cannot renegotiate her mortgage. And she has not failed to make a payment bigger than I'd be comfortable with for 3 years, and yet they will not renegotiate her mortgage.
Janet, thank you very much for that story. And Vic in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello, Vic.
Yeah, hi. My question is, if the reason we're bailing out all these institutions is they've grown too big to fail, on the same day that we bailed out AIG, Bank of America bought Merrill Lynch. Now, has that become too big to fail? I mean, where does it end?
Well, it's a good question, and I think David Leonhardt from the New York Times, were you indicating before that you think one of the reforms has to be limits on the size of institutions so there is no one that is too big to fail in the future?
That probably has to be a part of it, but I think it's not clear that size is the most important issue here. What it's clear is that even with the sizes that we had before, banks were able to take on so much risk that when the bets turned bad, the entire financial system itself was at risk, and so the government had to step in. And so my colleague Floyd Norris has a really nice column in the paper today saying, here should be the principle. If you are so important or so big, but big is not quite the same, if what you are doing puts the entire system at risk, and thus the government may have to come bail you out if you fail, then you need to be regulated. If the government's going to be on the hook at the end of the day, it needs to have the ability to prevent you from doing it at the beginning of the day, and that's what's so troubling about this. We don't have any choice now to clean this up, but we did have a choice a few years ago, and we do have a choice going forward about whether we're more serious about how we manage our economy.
Diana, we're about 30 seconds from the president. Do you want to react to that?
Well, no, I think David's absolutely right. In 2005, 2006, there were discussions about regulating and making Fannie Mae smaller, and Congress decided not to do that. And looking back, that was a big mistake. I think Congress really has to be behind some of these strictures on especially government-sponsored enterprises such as Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae that got special privileges and abused them.
Now, President Bush is going to take the podium at the White House. I believe this is in the Rose Garden. As we await him any second now, David, what do you expect that would be any different from what we heard from Secretary Paulson earlier in the hour?
I'm less interested in details than I am in how he presents himself here. He's been notably absent from the public scene over the past few days. He's let Bernanke and Paulson manage this.
All right, and we go now live to the president at the White House.
Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke and SEC Chairman Chris Cox, for joining me today. This is a pivotal moment for America's economy. Problems that originated in the credit markets and first showed up in the area of subprime mortgages have spread throughout our financial system. This has led to an erosion of confidence that has frozen many financial transactions, including loans to consumers and to businesses seeking to expand and create jobs. As a result, we must act now to protect our nation's economic health from serious risk. There will be ample opportunity to debate the origins of this problem. Now is the time to solve it. In our nation's history, there have been moments that require us to come together across party lines to address major challenges. This is such a moment. Last night, Secretary Paulson and Chairman Bernanke and Chairman Cox met with congressional leaders of both parties, and they had a very good meeting. I appreciate the willingness of congressional leaders to confront this situation head on. Our system of free enterprise rests on the conviction that the federal government should interfere in the marketplace only when necessary. given the precarious state of today's financial markets and their vital importance to the daily lives of the American people. Government intervention is not only warranted, it is essential. In recent weeks, the federal government has taken a series of measures to help promote stability in the overall economy. To avoid severe disruptions in the financial markets and to support home financing, we took action to address the situation at Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. The Federal Reserve also acted to prevent the disorderly liquidation of the insurance company AIG. And in coordination with central banks around the world, the Fed has injected much-needed liquidity into our financial system. These were targeted measures designed primarily to stop the problems of individual firms from spreading even more broadly. But more action is needed. We must address the root cause behind much of the instability in our markets. Mortgage assets that have lost value during the housing decline and are now restricting the flow of credit. America's economy is facing unprecedented challenges, and we are responding with unprecedented action. Secretary Paulson, Chairman Bernanke, and Chairman Cox have briefed leaders on Capitol Hill on the urgent need for Congress to pass legislation approving the federal government's purchase of illiquid assets, such as troubled mortgages, from banks and other financial institutions. This is a decisive step that will address underlying problems in our financial system. It will help take pressure off the balance sheets of banks and other financial institutions. It will allow them to resume lending and get our financial system moving again. Additionally, the federal government is taking several other steps to address the trouble of our financial markets. The Department of Treasury is acting to restore confidence in a key element of America's financial system, money market mutual funds. In the past, government insurance was not available for these funds, and the recent stresses on the markets have caused some to question whether these investments are safe and accessible. The Treasury Department's actions address that concern by offering government insurance for money market mutual funds. For every dollar invested in an insured fund, you'll be able to take a dollar out. The Federal Reserve is also taking steps to provide additional liquidity to money market mutual funds, which will help ease pressure on our financial markets. These measures will act as grease for the gears of our financial system, which were at risk of grinding to a halt. They will support the flow of credit to households and businesses. The Securities and Exchange Commission has issued new rules temporarily suspending the practice of short selling on the stocks of financial institutions. This is intended to prevent investors from intentionally driving down particular stocks for their own personal gain. The SEC is also requiring certain investors to disclose their short selling and has launched rigorous enforcement actions to detect fraud and manipulation in the market. Anyone engaging in illegal financial transactions will be caught and persecuted. Finally, when we get past the immediate challenges, my administration looks forward to working with Congress on measures to bring greater long-term transparency and reliability to the financial system, including those in the regulatory blueprint submitted by Secretary Paulson earlier this year. Many of the regulations governing the functioning of Americans' markets were written in a different era. It is vital that we update them to meet the realities of today's global financial system. The actions I've just outlined reflect the considered judgment of Secretary Paulson, Chairman Bernanke, and Chairman Cox. We believe that this decisive government action is needed to preserve America's financial system and sustain America's overall economy. These measures will require us to put a significant amount of taxpayer dollars on the line. This action does entail risk, but we expect that this money will eventually be paid back. The vast majority of assets the government is planning to purchase have good value over time, because the vast majority of homeowners continue to pay their mortgages. The risk is of not acting would be far higher. Further stress on our financial markets would cause massive job losses, devastate retirement accounts, and further erode housing values, as well as dry up loans for new homes and cars and college tuitions. These are risks that America cannot afford to take. In this difficult time, I know many Americans are wondering about the security of their finances. Every American should know that the federal government continues to enforce laws and regulations protecting your money. Through the FDIC, every savings account, checking account, and certificate of deposit is insured by the federal government for up to $100,000. The FDIC has been in existence for 75 years, and no one has ever lost a penny on an insured deposit, and this will not change. America's financial system is intricate and complex. But behind all the technical terminology and statistics is a critical human factor: confidence. Confidence in our financial system and in its institutions is essential to the smooth operation of our economy. And recently, that confidence has been shaken. Investors should know that the United States government is taking action to restore confidence in America's financial markets so they can thrive again. In the long run, Americans have good reason to be confident in our economic strength. America has the most talented, productive, and entrepreneurial workers in the world. This country is the best place in the world to invest and do business. Consumers around the world continue to seek out American products, as evidenced by record high exports. We have a flexible and resilient system that absorbs challenges and makes corrections and bounces back. We've seen that resilience over the past 8 years. Since 2001, our economy has faced a recession, the bursting of the dot-com bubble, major corporate scandals, an unprecedented attack on our homeland, a global war on terror, a series of devastating natural disasters. Our economy has weathered every one of these challenges and still managed to grow. We will weather this challenge too, and we must do so together. This is no time for partisanship. We must join to move urgently needed legislation as quickly as possible, without adding controversial provisions that could delay action. I'll work with Democrats and Republicans alike to steer our economy through these difficult times and get back to the path of long-term growth. Thank you very much.
President Bush at the White House saying the economy is stable despite the financial crisis. He's just told the nation that his administration is taking unprecedented action to deal with the ailing financial markets. He said he appreciates the willingness of Congress to work with the administration to address the crisis head on across party lines. The president spoke publicly here for the third time this week about the convulsive developments in the business world. He was joined on the White House steps outside the Oval Office by Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke, Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson, and the Securities and Exchange Commission Chairman Christopher Cox, who John McCain yesterday called on to be fired. We'll get a quick reaction now from David Leonhardt, New York Times economics columnist, and Diana Furchcott-Roth, also still with us, who was chief economist in the Labor Department a few years ago during the Bush administration from 2003 to 2005. David, it seems to me what was new there, in addition to just the sentiment to express the confidence and reassure people that the FDIC insured deposits and CDs are safe, was to announce a new insurance program for money market mutual funds. Yes?
Yeah, I mean, things are coming out so fast at this point that it's not always clear when something is new or just packaged in a new way. We have the same issue with how Obama and McCain are responding to this. So I want to hold off on that before being sure about that until later in the day. But what mm-hmm. struck me while listening to it is I actually think there's a parallel here to Iraq. I've been reading parts of Bob Woodward's book recently, and what's clear is that the Bush administration has done a pretty good job of managing the Iraq situation over the last year or so. And yet what they've really done is made a terrible situation of their own making somewhat less bad. And I think when you look at what Paulson and Bernanke have done recently, you can really say something similar. They've done a pretty good job of managing this crisis. And Bush is out there now talking about the immediate crisis. But the fact is the president deserves significant responsibility for the underlying economic reasons and the underlying financial reasons that we're in this mess. And I don't expect he's going to talk about that, but I think it's important not to lose sight of that, particularly for the next president.
Diana Furtscott-Roth, do you agree?
I disagree that President Bush is responsible for the financial situation. The Republicans, President Bush included, wanted to reform and regulate Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac in 2005 and 2006. Congress refused to do that. The Community Reinvestment Act laws in the 1990s required banks to have a certain proportion of their lending to low-income and minority borrowers, and that's partly what caused the subprime crisis. And I think that what should be remembered in this also is that Main Street, by and large, is doing fine. It's Wall Street that's in problems. And the president has a responsibility to keep the economy going for Main Street. Don't forget, last quarter we had a GDP growth rate of about 3.2%.
So just very quickly, before we have to break for the news, Diana, he had Christopher Cox out there with him, really the first Cox sighting that I could think of throughout all of this. John McCain called for his head yesterday. Did McCain do the right thing, or was he grandstanding?
I think that Senator McCain had his own reasons for saying what he did. It's clear that Chris Cox is doing the best that he can under the circumstances. But if he were elected president, Senator McCain would have a choice of a whole
right.
new set of people.
Well, David Leonhardt, 20 seconds. As chairman of the Securities and Exchange Commission, was Cox responsible for any special failure here? David, are you there? We lost David Leonhardt. So we thank David Leonhardt, New York Times economic scene columnist, and we thank Diana Furtscott-Roth, former chief economist in the U.S. Labor Department in the Bush administration, now with the Hudson Institute. Thank you very much for coming on with us today.
Well, it's been a great pleasure. I hope you have me back one of these days.
You bet. And our coverage continues. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.